And I'm just going to pray and ask for God's help in speaking his word this evening. Let's just pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask, Lord, please, that as we look at this subject, there is hope. That you, Lord God, would remind us of the hope that is found in Jesus Christ, your Son. It's greater than any hope, Lord God, that this world could offer, as we'll hear tonight, Lord. But we pray, Father, please, in the name of Jesus, that you would enable us, Lord God, to draw near to you and to hear what it is, Lord God, that you're saying to us. We pray, Father, that you would speak into our lives, that nothing, Lord God, would prevent us from hearing what it is that you're saying to us, please. We pray, Father, that tonight people who hear Jesus, hear the voice of Jesus speaking into their lives, would respond, Lord God, accordingly. And that, Lord, you would be glorified in and through your Son. Father, bless us now as we humble ourselves under your word. And we pray that your word would do its work and it would triumph, Lord. That people would leave here tonight with your word on their hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we saw how God transformed what seemed like a completely hopeless situation for a widow and her son. And it was during a time of famine, and the woman's supplies were almost used up. In fact, we heard that she was actually out gathering wood for a fire to make the last piece of bread for her son and herself before they would die of starvation. And I was trying to really drive this home, that this was a real life situation. This was the, you know, the starving kids in Africa that you see on TV, and the kids were having to drink the dirty water. If there had been a charity that was making a video, you would have seen this woman gathering up a few sticks in the midst of this famine to light a fire, to use up the very last of her resources to make a wee bit of bread for herself and her son, and then basically they were going to starve to death. However, unknown to the woman, and I'm sure everybody went home last week and read the passage for themselves, and you will see nowhere in the passage does it suggest that this woman knew God had chosen her to look after Elijah's needs. But so unknown to the woman, God had ordained that she would be the person to provide food and water to his servant, the prophet Elijah. And so when Elijah comes along, he asks her for water and bread, and she told him her plight. She basically says, listen, I've only got a wee bit of oil and a wee bit of flour. I'm gathering up these few sticks. I'm going to light a fire, bake this wee bit of bread, and then me and my son are going to starve to death. Well, when Elijah heard this, his heart must have been moved. Because the next thing we're told is the Lord told Elijah, tell the woman her supplies will last until the famine is over. Imagine hearing that from this total stranger, that there she is in this hopeless situation, gathering up the sticks to light the fire, to bake this last piece of bread with the meager supplies that she has, and then going to die of starvation. And the horror of thinking that she's going to maybe embracing her son somehow, waiting until they would die. I remember I was in a castle in the Isle of Skye, and when you went in, one of the parts of the castle, it was the prison. And when you went in, you went up these stairs, and then you sort of had to be careful because you looked down and there was this really deep hole into the ground. And you thought, what was that all about? It was covered with concrete. And I said to the people, what's that for? And he says, well, what happens there is if you were really bad and you really had annoyed the person who owned this clan's leader, they dumped you in there alive. And then the next person got dumped in with you, and the two of you were left there to starve to death. And what would happen? First one, you know, would die, and then they would be decomposing, and that decomposing body would also create a lot of problems for the other person who was starving to death, and the two of them would die together. And then they would open this thing at the bottom and just flush the bodies out once they were dead. And here was this woman in this situation, and yet God said to Elijah, tell the woman her supplies will last until the famine is over. And the woman and her son and Elijah were told they ate for many days by God's miraculous provision. And God shows us by this account, he shows us that we can be at the center of his plans for other people's lives, or others can be at the center of God's plans for us without either of us initially knowing. In other words, God knows the plans that he has for all of us. We may be like Elijah, and God has commanded someone to help us in our time of need. Or we may be like the widow, used by God to help someone else in their time of need. I don't know if you're the same as me. Northern Ireland humour is incredible. In the most dire circumstances, Northern Ireland humour just comes across. But thankfully, I'm not going to tell you a dire circumstance tonight. But last Tuesday, I was in a shop in Glengormley, and there was a wee elderly lady standing, and she was like pure Belfast, you know, I could hear her chatting away. And she was just standing there in the shop next to me, when in walked this heavily, heavily pregnant teenager. And the wee lady says to her, "Ach, when are you due, love?" And the girl says, "In 3 weeks." And the wee lady says, well, what are you hoping for?" And the girl says, "A baby." And the wee lady, as quick as you, as lightning, a wee bit embarrassed, she quickly retorted, "Well, I hardly think it's going to be a crusty loaf." And the shopkeeper he just burst out laughing. Of course, then I couldn't stop laughing. Everybody else then in the shop laughing, you know. "Well, it's hardly going to be a crusty loaf." But the girl was serious, you know. She just didn't realize when the woman says, "What are you hoping for?" You know, a boy or a girl. She just says, "A baby," you know. What else was going to come out of there, you know? But Northern Ireland humour is brilliant. But I want to take the lady's question to the pregnant teenager and apply it to us tonight. What are you hoping for? What are you hoping for in life? What are you hoping for from life? People, I suppose, in a sense, are pregnant with possibilities, of all of the possibilities of what they want to do with their lives. You know, people have got all of their hopes and their dreams, their ambitions, their aspirations. But in a world where there's very little hope, what are you hoping for in life? What are you hoping for from life? I ask this knowing that it has been asked many times. It's like nearly like a New Year's resolution. What are you hoping for this year? This has been asked many, many times. What are you hoping for in life? Well, a person asks some friends to anonymously write how they would finish this phrase. And the phrase was this: "In 2019, I hope to..." And then they had to anonymously write the end of the phrase. And here's just some of the responses that the person received. "In 2019, I hope to be happy, or I hope that I can find happiness." Now, what does that tell you about someone who writes that? "I hope to go to university. I hope to have millions in my bank account. I hope to start my life all over again and not make the same mistakes. I hope to marry the person of my dreams. I hope to get fitter and healthier. I hope to be pain-free and able to function normally. I hope I can be a better person." How would you answer if you were asked to finish the phrase, "Between now tonight, between now and Christmas, I hope to"? How would you finish that phrase this evening if you were asked to complete it? "Between now and Christmas, I hope to." Would your hope be anything more than wishful thinking? You see, like, I hope for a chalet in Switzerland at the foot of the Alps. You understand? Never going to happen. I think I was talking to Cyril, was it, during the week? I was talking to someone, we're saying, I hope that someone will come in a helicopter and whisk me off with a year's supply of food and everything that I would need and dump me in a lighthouse somewhere way out in the sea that nobody can get near unless they come by helicopter or by boat. but it's never going to happen. So would your hope, when you're saying, what would you hope for between now and Christmas, would your hope be anything more than wishful thinking? You know it's never going to happen, but sure, you can hope. Or would it be based on a probability that, you know what, it just might happen? Or are you absolutely confident that your hope will be realized? Remember your phrase, between now and Christmas, I hope. Is it just wishful thinking? Is it based on a probability that it might just happen? Or are you absolutely confident that your hope will be realized? What are you hoping for in life? What are you hoping for from life? But let me explain to you. The world and the hope that the world offers, that's anything that world out there can offer. The hope the world offers is the probability that something might happen. That is the hope of the world. The probability that something might happen. The hope of the Lord Jesus is a confident expectation that something will happen. Do you hear the difference? The hope of the world is the probability that something might happen. The hope of the Lord Jesus is a confident expectation that something will happen. Is your life, therefore, tonight, is your life based on probabilities or confident expectations? Let's read Hebrews chapter 11. And we're reading the first 6 verses of Hebrews chapter 11. The writer says this: now faith is the substance, the realization, the confidence. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are invisible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now the writer of this letter to the Hebrews, he tells us in this what's known as the greatest passage on faith. The greatest passage in the Bible on love is 1 Corinthians 13. The greatest passage in the Bible on faith is Hebrews chapter 11. And the writer of this chapter, of this Bible passage, tells us faith is the assurance. Some passages, or some versions, have it this way: faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now, the Northern Ireland version, or the New International Version, puts it this way: faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The writer shows us, like, for example, he shows us that by faith, Christians believe God created the world. Now, we Christians know, because we believe the Bible to be the Word of God. When we look at Genesis and we say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we believe, and that's simple faith. We believe that God created the worlds and everything in it. This is what the writer is telling us. We're told, for example, that Adam and Eve, their second son, Abel, in faith, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother Cain. And God actually declared Abel righteous as a result of the sacrifice he offered, which led to Abel being murdered by his brother. We also read of this man called Enoch, whose faith so pleased God that God just one day took him straight to heaven without Enoch even having to die. Sometimes, you know, when you listen to people saying, "Lord, I want to please you, I want to please you, I want to please you," you think, just be careful. You might find yourself heading back home and just disappearing into heaven. But isn't that beautiful? He had such a faith in God, such a walk with God, that he pleased God so much that God just took him straight to heaven without having to die. But then the writer drives home a truth of paramount importance. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So to be clear about what the writer's telling us here, to be clear about what this means, we must understand first and foremost what it doesn't mean. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't mean that unless you believe in God, you cannot please him. Right? It doesn't mean that unless you believe in God, you cannot please him. And neither does it mean that if you believe there is a God, you will please him. That's not what this actually means. It's not about unless you believe in God, you can't please him. It's not about if you believe that God exists, then you can please him. Neither of these is true. Neither defines what is meant by without faith, it is impossible to please God. I've heard people rhyming this verse off for years. Many people who don't call themselves Christians say that they believe in God. How many people here tonight know of people that they have spoken to and they will tell you, "I believe in God, but I'm not a Christian." So many people who don't call themselves Christians still say that they believe in God. Is that faith? No. Many people who don't call themselves Christians think that they can please God without faith. They think that they can earn their way to heaven by doing things. But the Bible is absolutely clear. The writer to the Hebrews is absolutely clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it means the people who please God are those who demonstrate that they believe in God and trust that he rewards those who seek him and obey him. You see, it's not just about head knowledge. Those who demonstrate their belief, that is going way beyond mere head knowledge that there is a God. See, the people who say to you out there and you go and you rap the door and you want to talk to them about Jesus and they say, "I believe in God," that is as much use to them as a chocolate teapot. It is of no value whatsoever. Your faith must be demonstrated. And it must be demonstrated by a willingness to seek God and to obey him. Those who demonstrate their belief, those who show that they have more than head knowledge, they are who it is that pleases God. Those who seek him and obey him, they have gone even beyond trying to please him by self-effort. And here's the wonderful truth about this message. Those who please God, and that is the faithful, those who demonstrate that they are Christians. They don't just say it, they demonstrate it. Those who please God, they and they alone are given an absolute assurance from God that what they hope for, they can confidently expect to happen. Do you hear that tonight? Now, I don't know what your plight is tonight. I don't know what your situation is tonight. I don't know, Christian, what difficulties you may be facing tonight. But God's word promises the faithful that he gives them an absolute assurance that what they hope for, they can confidently expect to happen. The faithful have a confident expectation that what God promises them will happen. Like a pregnant girl who was, like that pregnant girl who was confident she was having a baby and not a crusty loaf. So the faithful, those who demonstrate their belief in God and trust Him to keep His promises, they are persuaded that God will do what He says He will do. The hope the world offers is the probability. There's a probability that something might happen. The hope the Lord Jesus gives is a confident expectation that something will happen. So what are you hoping for in life? What are you hoping for from life? Is your hope tonight anything more than wishful thinking? Oh, sure, you can hope it, but you really know it's not going to happen. Or is your hope based on a probability? Well, it might happen. Or are you confident tonight that your hope will be realized? Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'll say it again. The hope the world offers is based on probabilities that something might happen. The hope the Lord gives comes with an assurance that what you hope for in God, you can confidently expect it to happen. We can all have our normal hopes and our dreams and our aspirations and our ambitions in life. But what are our hopes based upon? Probability or confident expectation? Christian, I'm going to ask you again. What are you hoping for in life right now? If you could wish, in that sense, you want to use that term. If you could say, between now and Christmas, I hope for. What are you hoping for in life, Christian? What are you hoping for from life? Our hope in God comes with His unmistakable, unquestionable assurance that He will keep His promises to us. And what we hope for in Him is absolutely guaranteed to happen. That's the God we worship. And He is a faithful God. Maybe tonight there's someone here and you're not yet a Christian, watching on Facebook, listening to our podcast. You're not yet a Christian. Well, I'm going to ask you the same question. What are you hoping for in life? What are you hoping for from life? Without Jesus, your hopes in life are based on nothing more than probabilities that they might happen. But have you thought about eternity? Have you thought about where you will spend eternity? Can you take the risk about where you will spend eternity based on a probability that something might happen? Is your hope on this matter anything more than wishful thinking? Are you expecting a baby only to end up with a crusty loaf? Have faith in God. Demonstrate your trust in Him and obey Him. To demonstrate your trust at the beginning is to confess your sin. Agree with God that you are a sinner. Then repent, turn around, be prepared to leave that sinful lifestyle, those sinful ways behind, and believe in Jesus to save you. And your hope will be assured with a God-given, confident expectation that He will keep all of His promises to you, because our God is a faithful God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we want to thank You for those who know You and love You, that we know, Lord God, that our hopes in You will be realized because You are a faithful God. We thank You that we have Jesus seated at Your right hand, ever living to make intercession, Lord God, to ensure that all of the promises that You have made to us will indeed be fulfilled. Lord, You have given us an incredible assurance that everything that You have promised will be fulfilled regarding us. And we bless you for that truth. You know, Lord God, the difficulties that each of us face. You know the challenges, Lord God, that we encounter. You know, Lord God, the deep yearning of people's souls tonight, Lord God, as they're looking for answers, as they're looking for things out of this life, as they're looking to you, Lord God, to move. Lord, we just pray tonight that as Christians, we would rest assured in the confident expectation that we have in Christ, that you will fulfill all of your promises concerning us. Lord, we pray tonight for anyone here who doesn't know you. And we ask, Lord, please, that you would show them that their hopes, Lord God, for life, their hopes in life, they're based, Lord God, on probabilities that something might happen. They've got nothing more sure than that, Lord God, a probability. Lord, they can't afford to gamble with their soul's eternal rest on a probability that something might happen. And so we pray for them tonight that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would help them to see that they too, Lord God, can gain the full assurances of your word, Lord God, and your promises, the full assurance, Lord God, of eternal life through faith in Jesus, and that they can be given, Lord God, that confident expectation that all of your promises will be fulfilled because you are a faithful God. Lord, bring them to repentance. Bring them to faith. Show them tonight, please, that there really is hope in Jesus. For we ask this in his glorious name. Amen.